Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your questions or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your call right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. Again, that number, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about grace and money this month, but we're doing it, I think, in a little different way than what you're normally used to. We're building a case for grace being the motivation for how we use money, what our attitudes toward money should be. And when we build that case, I think we have to first start with worship, because there's a truth. Whatever we worship in life will ultimately control us. We see that said different ways. Some folks say whatever you depend upon in life for meaning and purpose will ultimately control you. There's other ways that it's been talked about in various corners. But I think the Word of God really says it, whatever we worship is going to ultimately control us. That's why it was the number one commandment, "No, have no other gods before you," because God is jealous for us. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that knows us best. He's the one that has our best interests at heart. And so he wants our hearts to be inclined toward him. And that's such an important truth to grasp. And Jesus really spelled that out. You can't serve God and money at the same time. It's just an impossibility. If you're going to devote yourself to money, then you can't devote yourself to the Lord. And we're going to talk today about one of our favorite verses in the Word of God. It's Romans 12. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." And he says, this is your spiritual act of worship. So how do we worship God in this new covenant? By offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him. Now, Richard, what in the world does that mean? What is Paul suggesting to us in this particular verse?
Well, he's summing up, really, his entire argument from the first 11 chapters, where he explained what salvation is and what justification is and why God did all of this stuff for us. And then in 9, 10, and 11, he's talking about Jews and Gentiles in this miracle that they can both be saved by the same grace of God. And he comes here and says, in light of all of that, in light of this incredible initiative that God has taken on our behalf, the most logical thing to do is to offer yourself back to God, because he truly offered himself to us. Jesus came, died for us, raised for us, and went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit for us. And the only reasonable thing to do is to give ourselves back to God to be used as he sees fit. And he will not let us down. He really won't.
Right. And it's the fact that God has invaded our hearts and souls. He's given us his Spirit. And so he wants us to be devoted to live in dependence upon God's Spirit. We talked about on Monday what Paul described as the Christian life, to live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And that's what Paul is talking about here, and that's our spiritual act of worship. Yeah. That just makes sense. It's internal, not external. It's something that comes from the heart. And then he goes on to say, and offering our bodies as living sacrifices, we're not going to be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, certainly the world has a pattern in place as far as money is concerned. They look at it as the way and means to find happiness, to find power, to find prestige, to find meaning and purpose, to find identity. Money is the source of all of that from a worldly perspective. We don't want to be conformed to it, because if we do, we're going to end up being controlled by money instead of being able to utilize it for God's purposes. But when we offer ourselves, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we can see that God's will is truly good, pleasing, and perfect to us.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel. If you have a question or something you'd like to add concerning this issue of grace and money, why, we encourage you to be a part of this edition by giving us a call right now. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines. All the time remaining on the clock, we want you to have a part of it. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, and talk with Tim, listening to us on WBRI. Hi, Tim.
Life question, and this has been this is sort of a hard one for me to ask, but I'm getting ready to have surgery soon, and I've been hoping that I don't wake up from it. Not that I'm feeling suicidal, but I actually hate the world, and I hate this flesh that I'm living in, and I'm sick of fighting the temptation. But like I said, you know, I'm not suicidal, but I would like to, not wake up from the surgery. I'm tired of the fight, and I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and Jesus is Lord. But is there somewhere in the scriptures that can change my attitude or my thinking?
Well, I would point you to the book of Philippians. It's a very personal letter by Paul to that group of believers. And he gives a philosophy of life that I think God's Spirit moves us toward closer and closer each and every day as we walk by faith in Him. And it's simply this. It starts in verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in this body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. So I think there's a natural desire in all of us to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's going to be far better for us, and we know that. I think God's Spirit puts that inside of us. But God has other purposes for us while we're here. And I think if we can embrace those purposes and recognize that our walk of faith can bring joy into the lives of others, then it's okay. So I would suggest you just reading that passage and allowing God's Spirit to really reveal the meaning to you in such a way that you're okay either way.
Yeah, and ultimately, you know, not my will, but the Father's. So,
yeah.
So, all right, guys, I thank you so much for the help, and I will meditate on the scripture.
Well, thanks for your call, and when's your surgery?
It is the 27th of this month.
Okay, well.
And it's a minor surgery, but the temptations fighting is just overwhelming at times, and granted, it is finished, gives me a lot of comfort, but at times I struggle with the flesh and this world.
Well, welcome to the human race. I mean, that's all of us, Tim, and that's why we really need each other. We're not isolated believers, or we shouldn't be isolated believers, because we've been joined to the body of Christ, and there's a reason that God joined us to a body. He placed us into something that's bigger than ourselves is because we need each other. There is a ministry that takes place within the body. But why? Because we all struggle, just like you are admitting today. I struggle. It's just part of this life that we live. It's just part of having flesh hanging on us and living in a world that is anti-God, anti-Jesus. But the battle's been won, and we have armor that we can wear that will enable us to stand against anything that Satan throws our way. So keep standing in the grace of God, my friend.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate the words of comfort, and have a great day.
Hey, glad you called, Tim.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. If you'd like to pose a question or join the conversation, why, we want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk with Dana. Hi, Dana.
Hey, how are you? Am I on?
You are on the air.
You are on.
Hey, my disciples in Christ, man, I just want to respond back to you for helping me in your love and compassion with my niece passing away of cancer at the age of 42. You told me to read John 14, and I had to drive 1,600 miles, actually 2,400 miles, but that wasn't me. That was definitely the Holy Spirit. I was doing it for my wife because it was my wife's side. But the pastor was a lady, and she's seen all of Jen's pictures of the smiling all the way to the end and talking about the Holy Spirit. And she had all these things written down that she was going to read, and she put them aside and said that I'm just going to speak. I understand. I'm going to speak from my heart, let the Holy Spirit speak through me. And she pretty much summed it up of what I was going to read up there, so I just didn't do it. But she said God was good, and you couldn't hear a pin drop. And I said, amen. And I didn't even know I said it. And she was like, who said that? And I raised my hand. She goes, well, you're getting a star. And, you know, it's just so beautiful to have the faith of everlasting life. Jen just, you know, was just one of those special people that never judged and always joyful, always helpful, and had a heart of Christ. And I don't understand. Jesus said we wouldn't understand everything, but the point is, thank you for your help and your wisdom and knowledge and trying to live in this world of the hardships of death, you know. But
really, and this world is filled with hardships, and thank goodness that the hope we have in Christ is truly an anchor for our souls. It keeps us grounded. It keeps us from drifting. And when we're anchored, when we have hope in our hearts, then we have something that we can actually share with others that becomes meaningful to them. And so, Dana, thanks for just making yourself available to the Lord and sharing his hope and being able to give an answer for the hope that's within you. That's great stuff, my friend.
I just got one more thing. I was diagnosed bipolar in 2009, and I was never educated with it. But, man, I went through some pain and suffering, dude. I was in anguish, crying out to God to squeeze my heart, but even thought of suicide. But what he did to me on December 4th when his spirit went through me, I just couldn't. I couldn't do it, but I wanted to because the pain was so bad. But my point is I think that gentleman was talking about suicide. Just keep praying to God, and he'll pull you through it. And just be careful you're not bipolar, because bipolar is a serious disease, and it's more than just what they say. The pain and the anguish is—it's inside. You can't explain it. You can explain a toothache or a sprained ankle, but bipolar—it's hard to explain. But I'm on medicine now, and I'm really coming back, man. Because I was broken after 5 years, and that's normal. I'm learning. But you guys have taught me the truth, and I thank God for the Spirit of Truth that the Spirit of Truth is in you. As well as me, that Christ lives in us, and it's the heart. You guys speak from your heart. You're real. You make sense, and you don't confuse people. And I'm a true believer, a new covenant. I just want to thank you, praise God for you, and bless your hearts. I love you guys, and keep keep the God's word alive and the truth, you know. And
well, thank you,
Jesus,
Dana.
Is the truth, life, life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and my life. For glory, therefore, merciful, therefore, just is my Lord and God. And I am so strong with that today in 5 years. And I'm actually, I don't boast, but I'm proud of myself, man. I went through hell for 5 years, and now I'm starting to see the goodness of the Lord. But you had to be, I had to be crucified. I had to die to the letter. I had to die to religion. I had to die to the tradition to find the true Spirit of God.
Yeah. Well, Dana, we're so glad that Jesus reached down to you in such a powerful way and made himself known in your heart and in your life and gave himself to you. So that you could experience new life, so that you could be raised to walk in the newness of life. So thank you for your encouragement to us, and we certainly encourage you to keep growing in the grace of God and in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, I will. The Lord will that be done. I just keep tuning in unto you guys at 4:20, man, is my favorite part of the day. And I'm on to you every day.
Well, we're glad we're a part of your life. And
probably 7 months. 7 is a good number. But you guys are just nail it, man. And I've been into 5 or 6 churches, and I have never heard the truth spoken. It's all about money and pleasing people, and you got the elders and control. And you guys are just about the truth, man. And I just can't say enough about it. But God knows, man. He's alive. He's with us. He's in us. And praise the Lord. And I love you guys. And thank you for your time on the air.
Well, you're welcome, Dana. Let me put you on hold and keep growing in that grace, okay? You hang on.
We hope Dana and many of our listeners from across the country can join us for a great Bible conference coming up in June featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher, of course. And I don't think the teaching can be any better than what you're going to hear right there. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the North Dallas area. And you can get all the information right now from stand2014.com. Again, that's stand2014.com. And we hope you'll make plans to do that. Plenty of time remaining to make those plans and get vacation scheduled and take the kids, getting the kids accommodated and all of those good things. So June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Dallas area, stand2014.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Pittsburgh and talk with Winnie. Hi, Winnie.
Hi.
Welcome.
I'm a Christian. There's a person I know, she holds a high position. She's a deacon in a church, but she's divorced. And should she be a deacon in the church? She's divorced and remarried.
Well, Winnie, I mean, obviously that particular church, that group has welcomed her and has opened up that opportunity to her. I can just read to you what the scripture has to say. I don't necessarily think divorce precludes somebody from serving. I think if that's something in a person's past,
he's remarried, though, to another man.
Yeah, Winnie, I gets down to kind of each situation there. I mean, I know people that have been divorced. They were divorced when they weren't saved. It was just a horrible situation. They got out of that. They came to know Christ Jesus. They struggled with what to do, and then God brought somebody else into their lives, and they got married, and they built that marriage on the platform of God's love and grace, and it was a true reflection of God's love for them, and you see that happening. So, Winnie, I don't know all the details of this person's situation, but here's what the scripture says. It talks about overseers, deacons, and those sort of things. And it really speaks of it in terms of men serving in these roles. But Paul writes to Timothy and says, here's a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, He desires a noble task. Now, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, and not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? So that's the prerequisites as far as leadership within the body of Christ. I think those are pretty clear. As far as that, the person that you mention and the church that you mention, you really need to find out kind of their thinking on it. But in light of what the Word of God has to say. So if I'm in your shoes, Winnie, I would...
Like Matthew 5:31-32, and Matthew 19:4-9, Jesus spoke about divorce.
Yeah, divorce is never in God's plan. It just never is. But it happens. It definitely happens, and it happens with Christians. And I think, you know, if it does happen with Christians, they need to be taken care of in a way where their lives can be restored. They can work through that, work through the pain and the rejection and all that they experience, and only the love of God can do that, and a loving church can be instrumental in helping somebody along that path. Now,
I've been thinking of going to the church, so I wonder.
Well, Winnie, what I would do if I'm in your shoes, this is obviously a concern that's in your heart. If you want to go to that church, you want to make that your church home, you want to serve, be a part of it, I would go and sit down with the leadership there and just express some of your concerns, ask some questions, and let the Lord lead that conversation, okay?
Another question. What is a sin unto death?
Well, Winnie, I think that's merely rejection of Christ. So if the gospel is being presented and somebody rejects that, not just a passive rejection, but you know, raises their fist up in the air and says, I want nothing to do with you, God. I want nothing to do with Jesus. I want to do my own thing. I want to live my own life. My destiny is in my hands and in my hands alone. That's basically the sin unto death. Why? Because that rejection of Christ is going to lead to eternal separation from God the Father. So I think that's how it's spelled out for us, I think, in the Word of God, that it is the rejection of Christ Jesus. As John wrote, he who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son has life. How do we receive the Son? By faith, by believing and by faith. And so those who don't believe, those who don't respond by faith, they are rejecting, and that's the sin unto death.
Winnie, thank you for your call. We're out of time for this edition. Have some things we'd like to discuss as we close the broadcast. Want to thank everybody for being a part of this one and tuning in. You know, there's a brand new offer on the table for the month of March. It's Bob Christopher's new series, Grace and Money. It poses the question, does the Word of God have anything to say about money, about our attitudes toward money, and about how to wisely use money? And of course it does. As Bob explores in this two CD series, Grace and Money, is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You can donate online at basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828, up to 6 o'clock Central Time today. Grace and Money, the new two CD series by Bob Christopher, yours for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Basic Gospel. We also have a great Bible conference coming up, as I mentioned earlier, coming up in June, featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. June 19th through the 21st, right here in the North Dallas area. All the information is available at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. And for a review of the day's broadcast or a particular call, we invite you to join our email list. Click subscribe at basicgospel.net to receive an email each day with a link to the most recent broadcasts. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Well, that's our time for today, everybody. For Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis saying God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.